Well, praise the Lord, everybody. It's a great day to be saved, to be in the Lord. And, you know, as we were saying, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. You know, you're very important. As fathers, you have to understand that you're very important. God ordained you to be very important. God ordained you to be the head of your families, of your communities, of your churches, and of everything that God has created in this earth, that, man, we are responsible for the condition of everything that's in this earth. Amen? Now that I just dropped that on you. But it's so important, you know, on this Father's Day that, you know, when we think about fathers, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But regardless, when we think about our Heavenly Father, we need to think about the great love that He had for each and every one of us. Because regardless of our waywardness, that He cared enough to send His Son Jesus to put us back into a place in a loving relationship with Him. So regardless of whatever else went on or inspired in our lives, that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, and we have to love Him and be obedient to Him. Amen? Amen. So we give God thanks and praise. Just let us pray. Eternal Father, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for all things through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we just pray right this day, right now, dear God, that You allow Your Holy Spirit, dear God, just to work through me, dear God, that You would speak to Your people, dear God. You know what they need better than I do, oh God. So we just pray and thank You for Your power and Your presence that is already here, oh God. Use me for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This wasn't intentional, but I'm going to be speaking from 2 Timothy, all right? And this is a letter from Paul to his son, Timothy, all right, who was under Paul's care, who was under Paul's leadership, and, you know, Paul loved him like a son. And the theme of this book is that the faithfulness and the boldness in ministry, especially in the face of opposition and suffering, all right? We have to understand as believers that if anybody told you that you've given your life to Christ and now you're going to walk tiptoe through the tulips and you're going to have this grand life and it's just going to be exhilarating, they told you a lie. All right? This is not the love boat. This is a battleship. All right? And so Paul was instructing Timothy in order to encourage him, to help him, to stay in place. You know, ministry can be very taxing on your life, right? As pastors, we know that this is very taxing on your life. But we also know that it's the grace of God that keeps us, that helps us to endure. Because the grace is not just that God forgave us for our sins. We thank God for that, that the grace of God did forgive us from our sins. But also, it's an empowerment. God's grace is an empowerment to help you to endure, to do the things that God has called us to do. Amen? And sometimes it's not always going to be nice. It's not always going to be pretty. Because you remember, every day that you wake up, you got three enemies, which is the world, who is in opposition to everything against God. You got the devil, and you got sin. Every day in your life, you're going to be challenged by all three of them. And if you didn't know it, get used to it, because that's the way it's going to be, like it or not. So as I said that, you know, Paul is exhorting Timothy to faithfulness. One thing God requires of His people is for us to be faithful, more than anything else, to be obedient and to be faithful, even in the midst of adversity and all the other things and the challenges that comes up in our lives, each and every day of our lives. And believe me, challenges are going to come. If they haven't, get ready, they're on the way, right? Some more good news. See, this Bible is good news, right? I'm going to be challenged. But see, going through the challenges, one thing I learned these many years of ministry is that going through the challenges produces the character of Christ in your life. Because now you understand that the life of Jesus is now being exhibited in my life. Because you are more temperate than you were before. You allow people to say stuff to you that you would never allow people to say to you before in your life. Or am I the only one? All right? You allow things to happen in your life that you do not respond to the way that you used to respond to before. Amen? And that's evidence that God is working in your life. It's evidence that you're yielding your life to the Holy Spirit. So Paul is telling Timothy in this chapter that the things that you're about to go through, he's talking about the marks of a good soldier of the cross. All right, everybody that came up years ago, I don't know how many, came from a Baptist church, and we used to sing that, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Anybody used to sing that hymn, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But sometimes we forget that I'm a soldier, because sometimes we get wounded, we get hurt, and we wonder why all this stuff is going on in my life. But you have to understand that you're a soldier. And anybody who's ever been in military service understands the danger of being a soldier. That's why they take you through such a rigorous training. So your mind is in order. Your emotions are in order. They're getting ready to put lethal weapons in your hand. And they're getting ready to train you to kill and not be killed. So as soldiers, we understand that. But sometimes as Christians, we don't understand that we are soldiers. And we're going to get wounded. On this Christian walk, you are going to get wounded. More good news. Right? Boy, what a great message Tom got going, right? But Paul's encouraging Timothy to be strong in the grace of God. See, we got to pull on God. We got to pull on Jesus. We got to get past the point of the flesh, my naturalness. The things that I know that got me to the places I used to get over on is no longer going to work in the spiritual realm. Amen? Because our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. There's going to be strongholds in your life from your past, but there's also going to be strongholds in opposition to your faith. There's going to be people that's going to come up against your faith, what you believe in, what you stand for, who you say you are, and you're going to be put to the test, amen? So Paul starts out here in this second chapter in 2 Timothy, and he says, you, speaking to Timothy, point blank, you, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. One thing I like about Paul, his references in the New Testament always put people in a relationship with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If anybody be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It's in Christ that I live and move and have my very being. So he's encouraging Timothy to make him realize you are out the picture. Right? A lot of times, it's hard for us to get out the way. And he said, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. One thing we have to understand, who called you to the place where you are right now? Philippians 1:6 says that he that began a good work in you is able to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus our Lord, all right? It was God through Jesus that began the good work of Christianity in your life. And he's the one that's able to complete it unto the day of Jesus' return. But Paul is just letting Timothy know that there's going to be some ups and downs, some ins and outs. There's going to be some speed bumps. There's going to be some holes in the road. There's going to be some misdirection. There's going to be misunderstanding. There's going to be misrepresentation. There's going to be a lot of things that is going to go on in your Christian life and in your Christian walk. But he says in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. You must endure these things, he's saying. See, as a believer, your deepest yearning from your heart should be to know, to serve, and to please God. As a believer, that's what we should do, to get to know him. That's why he said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, but also the fellowship of his suffering. All right? I don't want you to think that, boy, this is a gloom and doom day. No, but I want you to understand that suffering is part of your Christian walk. It's going to be part of your Christian walk. I know everybody's ready for the exit right now, right? Suffering, I'm out of here. But it's part of it. It's the reality. Christ suffered for us that day on the cross. He willingly suffered for us. He willingly went into the garden and said, Father, if there's any other way that we could do this, let's do it. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So sometimes we have to take a page from Jesus to understand that when we're going through things in our life and we don't understand it, that we don't like, that we have to be in them twisted trees of Gethsemane and be able to say, Father, not my will, but your perfect will be done. Because I know when I come through this that I'm going to come out better. I'm going to come out stronger. I'm going to come out with something that's going to be able to help someone else in their situation and circumstance. Amen? The things that we go through is not for us. The things that we go through is for us to be able to help someone else in their struggles. Somebody that don't know Jesus. Somebody that's ready to jump off the bridge. Somebody that's ready to commit suicide. Somebody that's ready to overdose on pills because they can't stand the pressures of life. But no pressure, no diamonds. You understand that? You know how diamonds come? Under great pressure. Cold. Press. Produces diamonds. That's how it happens. And it's just like your Christian walk. You know, if you want orange juice and you're going to do it yourself, you're going to have to squeeze it in order to get the juice out of you. And God does that with us. He squeezes us to get the soldier out of us, to get us to man up and be who God has called us to be. Or to woman up and be who God called you to be. Amen? But he also says that this is what I want you to do in verse 2. He says, I want you, Timothy, to get faithful men, those selected to be trained as leaders and to be teachers. That's what we're about here in King's Fire. If anything else, we're going to be a disciple-making church because that's what Jesus commissioned his church to be. Go ye therefore and make disciples. He never said go ye therefore and make Christians. He said go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. It's one thing to observe things, but then it's another thing to do the things that you observe. Correct? So that's the commission for the church, and that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. That the marks of a good soldier, Timothy, is not only that you know, but that you train others in the way that you know. And that's the way of the Lord, that we have to train other people in the way that they're supposed to go. Personal discipleship is a vital part of leadership. You yourself have to learn to disciple yourself. Yes, we do a great job here. We have classes, thank God. We got Brother Gil down there today who showed up here a few years ago. But because of these scriptures, the understanding of what we have, we discipled him, and now he is able to disciple others. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That's the marks of a good soldier. And you have to understand, you have to do it the way that God has gifted you. There's only one Pastor Don. Thank God, I heard you. All right? So you don't have to do it like I do it. You haven't been trained the way I've been trained. But that's okay. But you're going to be trained. Does everybody understand that? And you're going to be trained. You're going to be able to speak to your family. You're going to be able to speak to your neighbors. You're going to be able to speak to your coworkers. You're going to be able to speak to other people that you come encounter with. And once you pique their interest, Jesus said that we are the light of the world, the salt of this earth. We are not supposed to run from darkness. We're supposed to go into the darkness. We're supposed to be the salt. We're supposed to make people thirsty for what we have. But once they get to that point, it is our responsibility to train them and to teach them the ways of the Lord. It's not just giving them a little prayer, I'll pray for you and let them go on their way. No, the devil's going to beat them half to death. It's for us to teach them to fight the same way your drill sergeant taught you to fight. The same way your drill sergeant taught you how to handle that weapon, how to clean that weapon, how to do the things for you to survive. How to eat on just rations instead of the buffet we like to go to all the time. See, that's the mark of a good soldier. Sometimes you're going to have to do without in order for others to have. Amen? You're going to have to learn to do without certain things in your life, because soldiers, that's what they do. And he goes on to say that you're going to have to endure. Therefore, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. Hardship to be under afflictions. Hardship is to suffer trouble. Hardship is to suffer patiently. Hardship is to bear up under the pressure. Jesus taught his disciples in John 16, 33, that trials and tribulations you will have. He said, I promise you that. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. And because I have overcome, you can overcome. Amen? It doesn't matter what situation or circumstance that you face, that you can overcome it. Why? Because of the life of Christ that lives inside of you. The same way Jesus had to overcome everything that was in his life. The adversity, the conflict, the confrontations that Jesus was in. One thing about Christianity that a lot of people don't understand, this is confrontational. Jesus was very confrontational. He confronted sin. He confronted the Pharisees. He confronted the world. He confronted everything with the truth of who he was, who God was, and everything else. So if you're going to be in this walk, you're going to be a good soldier, get ready, because you're going to have confrontation in your life. There's going to be people in your life that's going to try to make you doubt who you say you are. There's going to be people in your life to make you doubt that Jesus is who he says he is. The whole world, if you look on TV, movies, and everything else that's in this world, is to make us doubt like the devil does that Jesus is not who he says he was, and he didn't do what he did on the cross, that he was just a myth. He was all these other things except for the divine Savior that was sent by the Father. See, these are the things that you have to understand. These are the things that you must, as a believer, get in your spirit. So therefore, when you're challenged, and you will be challenged, each and every day of your life, the world is going to challenge you for what you believe. You holy roller. Church this and church that. But what are you going to do when that comes up against you? Are you going to back up and let the world just have their way? Or are you going to take a stand for Christ? See, good soldiers take a stand. Good soldiers put themselves in harm's way to save other people. Good soldiers will take a bullet and then pick their partner up and take them out the hole. See, good soldier, he's saying this is a mark of a good soldier, Timothy. If you're going to stay in this race, if you're going to do exactly what God has called you to do, this is what you got to do. But verse 4, he says, no one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this world. See, too many times as Christians, we get ourselves so caught up in the affairs of this world, things that we could not change if we wanted to, things that are not going to make one bit of difference for our eternity, but we tend to get ourselves entangled. He said no one entangles himself. When you're entangled, that means you're all wrapped up in the situation, in the circumstance. He said no one does that. No one engages. No one takes part in. Or no one who begins this fight entangles himself in the affairs of this world. Why? That he may please him who enlisted him. Who enlisted you? Who called you to the point of where you're at? Jesus said in John 15, 16, he said that you did not choose me. He said, but I chose you. We have to understand. Because a lot of times, none of us want to face the things that God wants us to face. We'd rather face them on the beach in the Bahamas or something, eating coconuts or something, right? Oh, God, I love this Christian walk, suffering for Jesus on the beach. But that's not the way it always is. The reality of it is that we got to come down off this spiritual cloud and put our feet on the ground. We know that anytime there's war, that there are boots on the ground, that the Marines go in first. Simplify, do or die, yeah. All right? We know that they go in first because sometimes that's going to be you. You're going to have to be the ones that go in first. And the first thing we like to say is, why me? Why I got to go in first? Because that's your branch of service. That's your part as a soldier, right, Miss Kim? All right? That you're in the Marines. They hit the beach first. And then the Army. And then the Air Force comes last. See, everybody wants to be the last guy to come in with all the missiles and rockets and everything else. No, no, no. You must endure hardship as a good soldier. Because Isaiah 55. I get it. Isaiah 55 and 4, it says, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, as a leader, as a commander. Who enlisted you? He's talking about Jesus. That God has given Jesus to us. Okay? As our leader and as our commander. He is our commander in chief. He is the one that says whatever. And then we follow through. Now, this is in the same passage where we always quote Isaiah 55 and 8, that my ways are not your ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. Amen? And that's very true. But we have to understand that if Jesus is our leader, that he's not thinking about the situation the same way we're thinking about it. And he's not going to go about it the same way that we're going to go about it. So therefore, we are the ones that have to position ourselves. We are the ones that have to position ourselves to be trained to do exactly what the church has been called to do. The church has been called to be a power. See, people should not come in here and leave the same way that they left. All right? When they come in here, they should leave here different. If we are the people of God, then deliverance and healing and everything else should be in the house of God. Amen? Because if not, that's misrepresentation. If you went to McDonald's looking for a hamburger and you got seafood, that's misrepresentation. Correct? All right? If you went to Subway looking for a sub and they had little hard rolls or whatever they had, that's misrepresentation. Amen? It's the church. We cannot misrepresent who we say that we are. We have to be the people that God has called us to be. But the only way you're going to be the people that God has called you to be is that you understand that there is going to be hardship in my life. There's going to be adversity in my life. There is going to be challenges in my life each and every day of my life. But God has equipped me. God has trained me. God has called me to do exactly what I'm supposed to do. The Bible says that no one that puts their hand on the gospel plow and turns back is fit for the kingdom. No one. Once you grab a hold of that gospel plow and you turn back, God says you're not fit for the kingdom. You're not fit or cut out for what I called you to do. Not that you get disqualified from it. Then you just got to go back and be retrained. There's a lot of people that don't make it through boot camp. Why? Because they can't endure the training. They can't endure what you got to go through. But we can. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Amen? Hebrews 12 talks about, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, lay aside every weight and that sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, that's our example right there. That's why Paul was telling Timothy that you have to endure as a good soldier endures. That you have to go through. Why? Because we have an example of the author and the finisher, which means the originator of our faith that we claim. The one that we were just singing about, Yahweh. The one we were just singing about, Jesus. He is our example. It was set before him the same way it's set before each and every one of us. But what you going to do? What you going to do when the challenges come? What you going to do? It says that Jesus endured it. He endured the race that was set before him. He endured it. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He despised the haters. He despised the people that say that we're crazy. We don't know what we're talking about. That we're just leading people on this little road down the road with no end. No, we're not. We're trying to save souls. Amen? We're trying to save souls here. But you have to understand that I have been enlisted in this army that is full of power. The church is the most powerful force on earth. Why? Because the church was baptized, birthed into the Holy Spirit. You realize that? The church of the living God was birthed into the Holy Spirit, which means that everybody that's sitting in this seat, you got the Spirit of God in you, that you got power. You just got to learn to exercise that power. You need to put yourself in a place to be trained to exercise the power of God. You have to put yourself in a place to understand the power. That's why in the military, they train people to understand the weaponry that is in your hand. Because of the power that is released when you pull that trigger. And that's what we have to understand as a church. That you're being equipped with power. You're being equipped to heal. You're being equipped to deliver. You're being equipped to set somebody free. You're being equipped to save souls from going to hell. You're being equipped each and every day that you come here, each and every Sunday that you come here, each and every home group that you go to, each and every United service that we have, you are being equipped. Every time you come here, you should pick up another piece of that armor. Because you have to understand, I've been called to this. That's what Paul was encouraging Timothy. You have been called to this, my son. As difficult as it may seem, this is what you have been called to. And understand, you have an enemy of your soul who's going to try to disrupt your life in every way he can. He's going to disrupt your marriage. He's going to disrupt your household. He's going to disrupt your children. He's going to disrupt your finances. He's going to disrupt every other thing that you could see in this physical world. But Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, we always talk about the new spirit and the new man in 2 Corinthians, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation, old things have passed away, yet behold, all things have become new. But there's a couple verses before that where Paul says that we no longer know him by the flesh. We know him now by the Spirit. And you have to understand, what I am involved in is the spiritual warfare. It's no longer this fleshly stuff. It's going to affect your flesh. Yes, it is. But it's all connected to who you are in the Spirit. Amen? It's all about who you are in the Spirit because, see, you don't see yourself as God sees you. See, God sees you a lot bigger than what you see yourself. God sees you as a giant in the Spirit, and you see yourself as like the boys in the book of Numbers. In their eyes, we're like grasshoppers. See, there's something about a spiritual perception that changes a person's life. There's something about when you see yourself and what I've been created to do and what I'm able to do as long as I allow the Holy Spirit to work through me and I get out of the way. That's why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live for him. For the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, which means that you got to die in order for Christ to live. See, this whole thing about the crucifixion is we don't like it because you got to die. See, you're no longer the big man on campus. Somebody else is the big man on campus. And we submit to his leadership, but it takes training. It takes training. It takes you getting involved. It takes you getting involved in the place of ministry that you don't even understand. But the whole thing about getting involved, like he said, being engaged, all right? It's just like your car. If you do not take your hand and put it on the control and engage it into drive or reverse, you're not going nowhere. Correct? You're not going anywhere. And it's no different with your Christian life. If you do not engage yourself in ministry, you're not going to go nowhere. And then you wonder why everybody's soaring by me, everybody's jumping, everybody's dancing, and I still feel like a lump on the log because you're not engaging yourself. It's up to you to engage yourself. It's not my job to engage you. My job is to teach you and to preach you. It's your job to grab the wheel, pull it down, and put it in drive and start going down the highway. That's your job. That's your job. That's your job. Because when you want to go somewhere, when you want to go to the mall, you want to go to the bank, you want to go shopping, you want to go camping, you want to go whatever, what do? You load the car up, get all the stuff you need, turn the key on, and then you put it in drive and you're on your way. Correct? It's no different with your Christian walk. You have to understand it's no different. You are not meant to sit. You're meant to move. There's motion in God. God did not sit. God moved. He said, let there be, and it was. Things happen. When you start moving, when you start speaking, things are going to happen. But as the things start to happen that start to come and get you, that's when you have to understand that as a good soldier, I have to stand here. And as a good soldier, you have to understand that sometimes you're not always going to get the same instructions. But a good soldier knows that I don't move until I get a different set of orders. Right, Privet? He was in the Navy, that's why. What was the last thing God said for you to do? What was the last thing that God spoke in your life that you should be doing? See, a lot of people are looking for something else to do, and you have not done what God has asked you to do the first time. You're looking for a new set of orders, and you have not fulfilled the first order that I have given you. How about go forgive that brother or go forgive that sister for what they have done to you? Jesus said, if you don't forgive others of their trespasses, your heavenly Father won't forgive you of yours. Go make it right. Why? Because now you have the ministry of reconciliation. You have to understand who we are in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? You have to understand, I have the ministry of reconciliation. I can bring things back into order that were out of order. But we have to understand, I have a commander. And sometimes we got to pray, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me right now? What are you saying to me right now, this very minute, God? What are you saying to me right now? See, we got to live in the now. Because sometimes we live in the past, and Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind you and looking forward to the things that are ahead of you. And sometimes we look in the future that we so far ahead of God, he's saying, where you going? Jesus said, follow me. You're going to get there. Okay, you're going to get there. That's why the Army, when they train people, they got to pull these boys back because they got all this testosterone going and everything, and now they know they've been training to feel good. They got all this stuff in their mind, and they want to go, go, go. But your go, go, go is going to get you in trouble and get everybody else killed too. You understand? We have to live in the now. Where am I at right now with you, God? What do you want me to do right now, God? What is the next step that I must do, God, in order to complete where I'm going? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to give you a hope and plans to give you a future. He has the plan. He has the steps. He knows what it's going to take to get you to the place that he has ordained for you to be. Everything you see in your eyes is not the place for God ordained you to be. That's why you got to be discerning. That's why you need to ask, God, is this the place I'm supposed to go? God, is these are the people I'm supposed to allow in my life? God, is this the relationship that I'm supposed to be in? God, who, what, when, and where? I know we got communion. I know. That's my wife. I can mess with her like. See, when Josh messes with his wife, I can mess with my wife. Because they mess with us, okay? Quiet as it kept, yes, they do. But do you understand that I'm in training? You have to look at yourself as Paul is telling Timothy, I'm a soldier, I'm in training, I need to be equipped. You just don't do this on the fly. Christianity is not on the fly. It's not something I just wake up, oh, I think I'll be a Christian, then you just go out and be this marvelous wonder. It ain't going to happen. Because somebody is going to burst your little spiritual balloon, boop, and then you're going to come running in here with your tail between your legs because somebody done busted your balloon. But God never intended you. That's why Jesus took his disciples on a 3.5-year apprenticeship and in the middle of it, cut them loose and say, okay, this is what I showed you. Go ahead, let me see what you got. And they went out and they came back roaring. Yep, yep, yep. It's true, it's true. And Jesus told them, calm it down. Just be glad that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, because the thing of it is, as disciples of Christ, that's supposed to be in your life because of who you're connected to. All right? The giftings, the callings, and everything else is a part of your life because of who you're connected to. Don't get all excited about that. It's great. Yes, it is. But it's because of your relationship with Jesus, and that's what you're supposed to be empowered to do. But it's supposed to keep it in order, and all that we do is be decency in order and all to the glory of God. You get out the way, because he said, I share my glory with no one. Amen? So I just pray that you all be equipped. I hope that you heard something in this message that would make you think about who I am and what I am as far as Christ. Because, see, we're a church on the move. We're a church of destiny. And see, God does not give big things to people who he don't think can do the big things. You're part of a church that's going to move and do a big things. Everybody gets intimidated about that 80 acres. I don't. I just thank God that I lived in this time on this earth, that I can be a part of something that's bigger than anybody's ever did. Not that I'm bragging, but it's bigger than anybody's ever did. Why? Because we got big faith. We got big faith in a big God who wants to do something, not just for me, but for my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, and all of yours too. This ain't about us. Because if you think this is about you, then your faith is too small and your picture's too small. Remember we used to have them TVs with the little smarty window in them? See, you're just a little smarty window, and you don't see the whole big picture. Everybody know what I'm talking? Remember them TVs, little smarty windows used to pop up? See, because when you're looking on you, you're just like that little smarty window. But you don't understand there's a big screen, and there's a big player behind this screen, and you're just part of what I want to do in this earth at this time. Amen? So praise God, and when you get a chance, go home and read 2 Timothy and ask God, what part am I supposed to be? God, what soldier am I? Am I the Marines? Am I in the Army? Or am I the Air Force? Am I the Reserves? Am I the National Guards? Am I the Coast Guards? God, what is my part in this kingdom building? What is my part? And once you find out your part, then come and tell us what your part is, because we got a job for you. Okay? Once you find out, because see, the reason why I say that is because we don't want to put people in places where you're going to be miserable. The Bible says put a man where he's gifted and he will excel. Book of Proverbs, go find it. All right? You will excel. See, it wasn't until I found in my gifting that I was able to excel in the things of ministry. And all of you got a place, and you're going to do great things for God. But you have to understand you got to be equipped for it. You got to be trained for it. And then you got to be retrained and retrained and retrained. And so you can get to the place where God wants you to be. You'll be happy, and we'll definitely be happy. All right? Come on, praise God.